Washington Week, news and analysis. I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network.
People have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
It was a week which began with Washington hearing from afar a president on the aggressive defensive. It wound up with this capital and the nation waiting to hear what form of offensive Richard Nixon would take against the energy shortage. On Saturday, Mr. Nixon announced that he would go on radio and television the next night to outline what he called tough, strong action. The object, to avoid anyone suffering, but every American, he said, will have to do some sacrificing. The sacrificing seemed certain to involve allocation of heating oil and cooler homes and businesses. But as late as midweek, the director of the Office of Management and Budget, Roy Ash, was holding out against rationing of gasoline.
Rationing is not inevitable. It is only something to consider if other measures do not achieve the objective that we're seeking, and we have a high degree of confidence that other measures will go a long, long ways toward doing it. The Sunday driving ban is not under consideration. The closing filling stations is one of those among many actions that has been considered.
With refineries being urged to switch over to heating oil production, the administration seemed to be counting on the resulting gasoline shortages and perhaps a high gas tax to do the job. But on Capitol Hill, the Senate passed and sent to the House rush legislation to authorize rationing. And Democrat Henry Jackson urged the president to get on with it.
Now, the choice is very simple. Either we have gas rationing or you stop it by putting a tax on. That'll mean that you'll be paying a dollar a gallon for gasoline. That's fine for those who can afford to buy their way, but how about the poor and those less fortunate? They can't do it. And so I would hope that by reason of the action taken tonight in the Senate, that the president would move without delay to direct his people to start setting up the organization for a rationing program and to get the tickets printed so that we do not lose valuable time.
It was the continuing Arab embargo on shipment of oil that accounted for a great part of the fuel problem and which brought a threat of retaliation this week from Secretary of State Henry Kissinger.
It is clear that if pressures continue unreasonably and indefinitely, that then the United States will have to consider what countermeasures it may have to take. We would do this with enormous reluctance, and we are still hopeful that matters will not reach this point.
But it was another cabinet member, Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz, who helped point out that the weapons of retaliation are few.
It's true the suggestion has been made in many quarters that we shut off grain exports to the Arab nations in retaliation. However, our grain exports to the Arab nations, even though higher than a year ago, are not high enough to be significant. And in view of the fact that the Russian nation has a much easier grain situation than a year ago, they could very easily make up the deficit of anything we cut off from the Arabs.
In Memphis, Tennessee, at the end of his southern travels this week, President Nixon stressed the long range, developing the capacity to do without Arab oil.
The greatness about America is that when we got problems, we just get out and solve them. And by the time 1980 comes around, this nation, which has half the coal of the world, which has lots of oil and lots of gas, which also was the first in developing nuclear energy, let's make sure that we have by that time, and that's only 7 years away, that we have total independence so that America hasn't to depend on any other nation in the world for the energy we need for our jobs and the rest.
But the main topic in Memphis in private discussion with the Republican governors was Watergate and related matters, as it had been in public the previous Saturday night in Orlando, Florida. There it was, responding to managing editor's questions, that Mr. Nixon declared himself no crook in the handling of his finances and innocent as well of other charges. In Memphis on Tuesday, the president told the governors that he expected no more bombshells involving his Watergate tapes. But some of those who came away praising his candor had second thoughts by week's end. Washington's Governor Dan Evans saying the president had not leveled with them. Evans called himself very disappointed. Oregon's Tom McCall termed himself sorely perplexed. All because it developed that the president had known then what his lawyer, Fred Bazart, was to reveal in court and to newsmen the next day. 18 minutes of a Nixon H.R. Haldeman conversation, which took place just 3 days after Watergate, had been obliterated, said Bazart, by an unexplained tone.
The tone in the conversation was discovered last Wednesday night when we were preparing the index and analysis for the court of subpoena conversation. An attempt was made to determine what was the cause of it and the character of it, how it was caused, or an explanation for it, including a large number of technical tests we performed yesterday. Unsuccessfully, I might say. We don't know at this point what the character of the problem is.
Despite what Governor McCall, at least, saw as a new blow to his credibility, President Nixon, according to White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint, is convinced his campaign is succeeding and is considering further activities along the same line and perhaps forays into less friendly territory.
Public appearances in the South, Macon, Georgia, and Memphis, Tennessee, for example, where he went earlier this week, are to a certain extent loaded in the president's favor since he carried those conservative areas heavily in the last election, and they are still strongly pro-Nixon territory. Similarly, speaking to Republican congressmen, governors, and largely Republican real estate salesmen, as he also has done recently, could hardly be considered a true test of the president's popularity. President Nixon's strategy has been basically to tell these groups what they wanted to hear, mainly that he's not guilty of anything and does not intend to resign. The primary exception to this strategy was his appearance before those newspaper editors at Disney World last week for an hour-long broadcast press conference. It was a tough forum, despite some softball questions, and many editors as well as White House aides thought Mr. Nixon did well. But he left most detailed questions about Watergate unanswered. Presidential aides say Mr. Nixon has several ideas on his desk for continuing his credibility campaign, speaking in California and the West, for example, and holding a broadcast question-answer session with a small group of selected reporters. But if the polls are any real reflection of public opinion, President Nixon has a great deal of campaigning to do before even a bare majority of Americans come to believe he is telling all the truth about Watergate. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, the White House.
The Senate Rules Committee this week approved unanimously the nomination of Gerald Ford to be vice president. But from Republican Senator Robert Packwood came a prediction that Ford would not succeed to the presidency by reason of Mr. Nixon's impeachment or resignation. Packwood, nevertheless critical, during questioning on the CBS News broadcast, Capitol Cloakroom.
Has Richard Nixon given the office of the presidency a bad name?
Yes.
How bad?
Hal, I think he has hurt the office as much as anybody since Warren Harding.
Packwood said the overriding ability that a president should have is the ability to inspire this country. Richard Nixon, he said, has brought us to the place where we believe we can do less than we can. The Oregon Republican's answer was directly opposite when asked to reflect on Thanksgiving's 10th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
That legacy was, whether he was a great president or a bad president or not, the legacy was that he did inspire this country. He made not only the youth, but he made the aged. He made all of us feel a little bit better to be Americans. I wish we had that feeling again.
Thursday was a day for memories as well as giving thanks. And thanks particularly for the fine weather that Friday brought out the cherry blossoms on Capitol Hill. The weather, President Nixon commented, has been on our side. But not enough, he added, to stave off those tough energy measures he was preparing to announce at the end of a Washington week produced by Ellen Wadley. I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News.